Ephesians chapter number 6. Beginning in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, I don't know, it's been several months maybe since we've preached on out of this passage or talked about this passage, but it's been on my heart for the last few days, and I thought we'd take a look at it and realize, first of all, the wisdom in verse number 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And if you're wise, you'll trust the power of God, the strength of God, the guidance and direction of God over the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. Amen. It's the Lord. True people, true wisdom, true people of God, true children of God that follow God, that please God, are wise enough to realize that it's all Him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Talking about that power, there are a lot of people out there that reject the power of God. And we know that probably 50% or more of science rejects the power of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's some power, amen? And you read down through that verse, and it goes go down through there, and you get to a verse that says, and He created the stars also. It's like, whoop, no big deal. Just threw them in there, amen? Kind of like Bob Ross putting birds in. You know, he'll spend 25 minutes painting a tree, and then two swoops, and there's a bird. That's kind of like God with the stars. Boop, there's the stars. But they deny the power of God. They would rather, as we've talked about before and probably exhaustively, think that everything come from nothing or everything was so condensed. I don't understand. There has to be a beginning, but their beginning already had a beginning because everything come from nothing, and that nothing was a dot, was smaller than an atom that contained everything. So that's still not the answer to the beginning. Because the dot had to have started somewhere, amen? Then the whole thing about, well, maybe God didn't do it, maybe the Big Bang didn't do it, but maybe the aliens seated us here, and people don't, I'm telling you, we are so limited in our ability to think without Christ's guidance that people will believe that, okay, God didn't do it, the beginning was aliens. Okay, where'd the aliens come from? That's foolishness. But people deny the power of God. You hear and see and read about and talk to people all the time that talk about, well, you've got to live it. You've got to trust Christ, and you've got to be baptized, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and all these things you have to do. And the truth is, The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, this is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all Him. Jesus Christ said, it is finished, and it was finished. He had paid the debt on Calvary. He come back out of that grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave, so you and I could have everlasting life, and we're not earning it. We're not keeping it. He earned it. He's keeping it for us. He's keeping us in it. We have been taken out of sin and placed in Christ. We've been born again. The power of God. Talk about that spiritual circumcision that separates the spirit from the soul from the flesh. So the soul is no longer accountable to the deeds of the flesh. People don't understand the power of God. They deny the power of God. Romans says having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There are a lot of people out there that they say, well, look at me. I'm godly. I go to church. I dress right. I do right. I try to live right. I try not to be as bad as the other guy. Comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. They're foolish. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about power. It's the power of God. But they'll say, well, I donate this, that, the other, philanthropist. You know what philanthropists are? People that have so much money they feel guilty about it. They're trying to buy their way into heaven just in case there is a heaven. Amen. That's what most of that is. I'm not saying all of it. There's some genuine people out there, but few and far between. But they say, well, I'm trying to do right. I'm living it. I go to church religiously. I tithe religiously and all this stuff they do regularly. And they deny the power thereof. So how's that? Because they think they're earning their way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the power of God. He come back through the power of the resurrection. He come back out of that grave. He had the power to lay his life down, the power to take it up again. That's the power of God. They deny the power of God. They don't understand what salvation really is. Oh, you believe that once saved, always saved. No, I believe the power of God. The power of God took me out of sin, put me in Christ, and I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible tells me in more than one verse, amen. I'm not going to take one verse that looks like you might be able to lose your salvation and disqualify 500 verses that say you're saved and eternally secure, amen. I'm not going to do that. They deny the power thereof. Well, Jesus Christ had the power to die, come back, and save your soul, and give you eternal life so you can be born again into Christ. They deny that power. They say, well, you're saved, but you could lose it. Because he didn't do quite enough. No, he paid every sin debt. Amen? He's the Savior of the world, especially of those who believe. What's that mean? Does everybody get saved? That means he died so everybody could be saved. He's their Savior, and they're going to reject him, a lot of them. Kind of like the guy that was, he went to explore this mountain, and he found the top of this volcano, and he looks down in there, and he sees that fire. And all of a sudden he feels this heat and he gets a little dizzy and he falls off into the hole and he grabs this twig on the way out. This atheist, right? Well, ain't no atheist hanging onto a twig with fire under him. So he starts crying out to God, oh God, if you're real, send somebody to help. God, help me, help me, help me get out of here. And all of a sudden this hitchhiker comes by and says, no, here, I'll help you out. He goes, no, God's got this. I believe in God now. He's going to get me. And then, you know, the hitchhiker says, fine, do what you want to do. You know, and he takes off and eventually the guy falls down into the fire and he burns up. He wakes up in hell and he's burning forever. And he says, Lord, I prayed to you to help me. And he says, I sent you the help and you rejected him. You see, Israel's been praying for help and God sent the help and they rejected him. And the world is looking for hope and looking for help and they're rejecting him because they deny the power of God. Well, ain't no man do this, that, that. No, Jesus Christ was all man and all God. And the power of God brought him back out of that grave. And then you get people say, well, I'm born again, but I might get unborn again. And I'm going to go to church and I'm going to do things the way the church has always done it. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says. I've talked to people till I'm blue in the face and say, this is what the Bible says. And I've had them say, so what? This is what we've always done. Or we don't believe that. You know what the Bible says? You know what the Lord says about the book? It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then it talks about dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. See, they don't understand. They claim to be good, godly people, but they deny the power. The Word of God is the power of God. Where the Word of a king is, there is power. King James, which is Jacob, that's the English translation of Jacob, commissioned this Bible. He didn't rewrite it. He didn't do it. He commissioned it to get King Jesus' words in your hand today. You say, well, that can't be because of the originals. Well, get me a copy of the originals and we'll talk about it. But the truth is, God knew you were going to speak English before you were ever born. Amen. God knew this world was going to be primarily speaking English when he came back before any of us were ever born. Matter of fact, he believed that and knew that and understood that from the foundation of the earth. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. God's not telling you, go look around for a little fragment. Maybe there's a fragment of an original left that you can get enough of that maybe you get saved. He gave you his word. Then he tells you, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. If a man loves me, he'll keep my commandments. You can't keep them if you don't have them. They deny the power thereof. Well, the Bible's good, but the church history and church tradition and what Mima always said and what people always said and what Aunt so-and-so always said, that trumps the Bible in their mind because they deny the power of God. I'm telling you, when you preach to people, witness to people, give them the power of God. Give them the Word of God. They'll have to deal with it, and it will deal with them. But the wisdom in verse number 10 is putting your trust in the strength of the Lord and the power of His might. What's the power of His might? His Word. You know what He said? He's going to come back riding on a horse with a two-edged sword, and His Word's going to destroy the enemy. In the beginning, His Word created everything. They deny the power of God. But the wisdom is put your faith and trust in the power of God. Put your faith and trust in the strength of God. What's the Bible say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Wisdom, you trust in the Lord, not the arm of flesh. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, the trickery. What's that mean? Well, he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How's he devour people? Well, he can devour the lost by keeping them from getting saved if they reject the power of God. He can devour the saved's testimony and their ability to do anything for the Lord if he can get them away from the truth of God. The wiles of the devil, the trickery. How do you think that we could survive against the deceit and the tricks of the devil without the Word of God? Jesus Christ didn't do it. When the devil tried to trick him and tempt him, Jesus Christ answered with the Word of God. You know why he was able to do that? Because he knew the Word of God. He is the Word of God. You know the Word of God dwells in you? You can open this book and get anything you need to overcome the wiles of the devil. But the devil says, no, you don't need that. Don't worry about studying. Don't worry about rightly dividing. Don't worry about reading your Bible. Don't worry about praying and meditating on it. Don't worry about church. Don't put so much emphasis on church and Bible doctrine and stuff like that. You've got this. And you go along thinking you've got it, and the next thing you know, you're out of the race. Because you cannot identify the wiles of the devil without the power of the Word of God. The Word of God gives you discernment. Amen. The wisdom, the wiles. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. The wrestling. The wrestling. We think of everything so carnally because of our five senses. What we can see, what we can hear, what we can feel, all that stuff. We think of everything about in a fleshly, carnal way. If we're not careful, that's the only way we'll look at it. And we'll look at this battle as I can overcome this because I'm going to set my mind to it. Well, think about all the things you've set your mind to in your life that have been wrong. Amen. Oh, the power of positive thinking. I was positively going in the wrong direction. Amen. But you're not going to do it. You're not going to understand without continuing to read the book with God shining His telescope / magnifying glass on your sin, on your problem. Amen? God will take that, His Word, and He'll take that telescope and He'll show you sin. And then He'll take that microscope and He'll show you yours. Isn't He something? That's the way it works, isn't it? I mean, He'll put His finger on it. He's not going in for exploratory surgery. He's showing you exactly where the problem is. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. of course, your flesh will try to make excuses and lie about it, and your pride will well up, and you'll say, well, that's not real. I'm not that bad, Lord. You argue with God like you could win that argument. Amen. And then when you realize you can't win the argument, a lot of people just quit reading the book. Say, well, I can make it on my own. You've already quit. Amen. You've already quit. If you're not reading the book, you're not trying to serve the Lord, please the Lord, you've already quit. But we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. This isn't a physical battle that you can win. This isn't whoever gets the first punch or whoever is stronger or whoever has the most endurance, because you can't outpunch the devil, you can't over-endure the devil, and you can't outsmart the devil. Amen. You can get one over on people sometimes. You're not going to get one over on the devil or the Lord. The only way you're going to defeat the wiles of the devil and you're going to win this wrestling match is through the power of God, by the Word of God. It says against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're wrestling against wickedness. We can't understand the extreme definition of the word wicked, because we can't, in our infinite little minds, understand the extreme definition of holiness. Wickedness is the exact opposite of holiness. And we're not able to understand God's holiness in this state. We can get an idea of our unholiness by seeing a view of His holiness. But you don't understand how wicked things really are out there. The things you've heard, the things you've been told, the things we've been fed through media and social media and through gossip and whatever, all the wicked things that you hear don't even scratch the surface of what the devil wants to do. We think, how in the world? Because we've set standards for ourselves. We wouldn't do this, we wouldn't do that. And you look at what people have done, they've been accused of, and all the things, you think how wicked that is. You have no idea how wicked the devil is. You have no idea how wicked you could be without Jesus Christ. If you think you do, you're lying to yourself. And that's the reason people have so much trouble giving God the glory, because they think they couldn't be that bad. They would need a Savior. But we're battling against spiritual wickedness. Verse 13, it says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Withstanding. He's telling you how to stand. He's not telling you, get a book on the power of positive thinking. He's not telling you to read and reread The Art of the Deal. He's not telling you to break open an encyclopedia set and read through every page until you know everything you can know. He's telling you, you're in a spiritual battle and you need His armor to survive it. I'm not talking about eternal salvation. I'm talking about to end well, like Paul said. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. I'm now ready to be offered up, he said, because he ended on the right track. He ended with his eyes on Jesus Christ. Withstanding. Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now we see the Word. The Word. Look back at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what John 17:17 says? Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. There's your Bible. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what Psalm 119:105 says? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's your feet. What's important for your feet? The word. Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So there's your faith. Look at Romans 10:17. You know what Romans 10:17 says? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't it funny how we keep coming back to the word of God? There's no sense in even having a church if you don't have the Word of God. If you're not preaching it, teaching it, meditating on it, believing it, and trying to rightly divide it, you might as well stay home and play checkers. Amen. Or pick up sticks with your cat, whatever you want to do. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Look at verse 17. I'm telling you, it's the word. 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 Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's your sword. So I'm going to defeat the enemy. You're going to do it with the word of God. Jesus Christ did it with the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. You know what Eve could have done? She could have defeated the devil in the garden by it is written. It is written. It is written. But she didn't. She looked at the fruit. She desired the fruit. She wanted to have the power the fruit would give her, so she took it. She was the first Hollywood star, amen? She seen the fruit, took the fruit, wanted the power, ate it. The devil didn't come up and force feed her. The devil, I believe, he just said, look at this. Isn't this something? All the stuff in the garden, there's one thing you can't have. And God doesn't want you to have it because he's trying to keep you from something. And he was. He was trying to keep you from eternal damnation. He was trying to keep you from falling. The devil says he's trying to keep you from being like him. You know what? Jesus Christ will make you like him. Eternal. Look at verse 17 again. And take the helmet of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul tells Timothy that the scriptures that he'd known from a child were able to make you wise unto salvation. You know, most people don't believe they're saved or staying saved because they're not wise unto salvation, because they're not believing the scripture. They're believing what some man said. And what man shows them. You could take two men, and one of them's right and one of them's wrong, and one of them's given scripture to prove one thing and one of them's given scripture to prove the other, and nobody will look at the scripture. Most people won't look at the scripture and say, what does it actually say, instead of what I've been told? If Eve would have done that, right? How many times if you would have done that, if we would have done that? He tells Timothy, the scripture which were able to make you wise unto salvation. You know what John 5:39 says? Here we go, right back to the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of water baptism, or me plus you doing good things. You know what he said? Eternal life is me. He is eternal life. It's not him plus christening, or him plus confirmation, or him plus water baptism, or him plus joining the church, or him plus kissing the Pope's ring, or him plus standing in a phone booth telling some sinner about your sins. It's not any of that stuff. It's him. He is salvation. He is eternal life. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You want eternal life? It's Jesus Christ. It's not in a plan. It's not in a program. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to fight the devil, I'm going to do this, all the people that talk about that, I'm not saying that. Lord, you know I don't want to fight the devil. The devil done kicked me around the block more times than I could even imagine. I don't want to do it again. I won't never do it again. But all those people, all those devil-eyed looking people on TV running around, screaming around, talking in tongues and doing all that baloney, and they talk about whooping the devil and all that stuff, they have no idea. The only reason they get away with that is they're going the same direction as the devil. If they turned face toward the devil and they started bragging that stuff, he'd take them out. And the Lord will let them. And they don't believe the word. They don't have the word. They sit there and they make up things about the word. I was hearing that. I won't mention a name this time. I'll try to be nice. It's hard for me to do, but I'll try to be nice. You guys will probably figure it out anyway. It's not a name we normally talk about. But he said, yeah, he said, I had a guy tell me, I don't believe in faith healing. He says, well, you should. The problem is you've never been to the back of the cross. He said, you ought to quit, get off your knees at the front of the cross. And I'm like, there's the first problem. You got to get on your knees at the cross, amen. But he said, get off your knees at the front of the cross and go around the back of the cross. And he said, if you look at Jesus' back, all the skin and the muscles and the bones and all that stuff, by his stripes we are healed. He goes, that's where healing comes from. He goes, his salvation and healing are real because of Jesus Christ. And those words are true, but the way he's using them are lies. And if he believed what he was saying, that he had the power to heal, and he wasn't healing the cancer ward children, and he wasn't down at the burn ward healing them kids, and he wasn't healing the folks that are all over the world dying in hospital beds and stuff, if he wasn't doing that, what kind of a man would he be? If he has that power, why isn't he using it for the glory of God? He's using it for the glory of his bank account, his fake power. And if he had that power, they wouldn't be paying people to roll in there in wheelchairs and flop around the floor and get up and walk out. Amen. It's the word. They don't rightly divide the word. They use the word for filthy lucre. They use and twist and distort the word, and if they can trick you into sending your money into them, it's your fault. It's not their fault. Amen. It's personal responsibility. They didn't come in and they don't go into people's, well, as far as I know, they don't go in and embezzle out of the bank. They use spiritual wickedness to deceive people into giving them what they have. Because people don't read the book, they don't understand the word, and they want something so bad. You know what the devil said? Skin for skin, all a man give for his life. And there are people out there that are sick and suffering. They'll send their money into those crooks, and they'll eat cat food and live in unsanitary conditions and have their water shut off and everything else, and they're paying a swindler to lie to them. And the reason they are able to be lied to is because they don't believe the word of God. Better trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. It's the word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus Christ said in John 5:39. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching. Watching out for others by praying for them. Amen? And watching out for yourself. Look what Ephesians chapter 5 says in verse 15 right across the street here. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know what you do? You put on your Bible glasses and you walk down the road watching what's going on around you and seeing how it fits God's plan. Amen. Oh, if Joe Biden got in again. Oh, if Nancy Pelosi. Oh, if Joe, oh, this, that, and the other. Oh, no, forget about it. I already read Revelation. Amen. I mean, God forbid that Kamala Harris would get elected, but if she did, that's not going to change Revelation. Speed it up, maybe, but it ain't going to change it. Amen. God's already won this thing. That's why I say I'd never tell you not to vote. I think, as born-again believers, we should try to get people in there that want to glorify God, that are closest. But if you don't vote, that doesn't make you less spiritual. It just makes you sane. I'm not telling you not to vote. I voted. I voted several times. Not at once, like the Democrats, but I voted several times. Amen. I didn't vote 16 times for one candidate, like some of them do. But I'm not going to tell you that if you don't vote, you're not going to be a good Christian. I mean, we could probably sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper and figure out why we're not good Christians, but it's not nothing to do with voting, amen. That is Christian nationalism, and I'm against it, amen. I'm against worship in this country. I thank God that we were able to stand in freedom under that flag, but it's because of that one. And if that one burns up and falls apart, that one's going to stand forever. Because what that flag represents on this side is eternal. This is temporal. Amen. I'm not anti-American. I'm anti-people that are anti-Christ. Amen. Sometimes I'm anti-me because I'm not in line. Let's just be realistic about this. But the watching out for others in prayer and watching around walking circumspectly so you don't fall into the tricks and traps of the devil, but you're going to have spiritual discernment from the Word of God. Look at verse 19. And for me, this is Paul, remember this. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what we see there? We've talked about wisdom, we've talked about the wiles, we've talked about wrestling and the wicked and withstanding and the word 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 and watching. Now we're looking at Paul's willingness. Think about what he's willing to do. He was willing to admit he's weak. He's asking other people to pray for him. He's willing to open his mouth boldly, given the power of God. And he's willing to admit his calling as a born-again believer, an ambassador in bonds. He's willing to accept his calling. He's willing to ask for help, and he's willing to be used of God. You know what he's wanting power to do and strength to do? God's power and God's strength and God's wisdom to do? To crucify his flesh. To die to self and live for Christ. And he was asking other people. We ought to be praying that for each other. Amen. I don't think we take the battle serious enough sometimes. Probably the reason I was finally able to witness that guy yesterday, probably because some of y'all are praying for me. And the Lord's like working me over. They're praying for you, and you're not right now. And I'm going to answer all these prayers and at least get a witness out there, amen. I have not arrived. I'm like Paul. Not that I've already, one that has already arrived. I ask you guys for prayer all the time. I'll covet it. I take all of it, amen. Double down on it. We need it. But Paul was willing to accept his calling. He was willing to be used of God. And he was willing to ask others to help him keep going. Say, well, church is just so we can go in there and have a good time, forget about the world. Church is so we can unite in battle around the Word of God, unified on the Word of God, focused on the Son of God, and pray each other through this mess. Amen. So when we talked about Ephesians chapter 6 here a while back, yeah, but I'm telling you, the importance is not just the chapter and the verse, it's the Word of God. Every single piece of this armor is connected to the Word of God. Every single piece of it. We read the verses. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. This is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Lamp to my feet, light to my path. Search the scriptures. All these verses, it all points back to one verse that defines the need of the other verses. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I always wanted to, and I think it was always carnal and fleshly wanting to do this, but the Lord never let me do it. I always wanted to preach a message called Cut It Out. Amen? And use that verse, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You got sin in your life? Cut it out. Amen? Open the Bible and let God cut it out. Amen? Let him take that telescope that shows you what sin is and turn it into the microscope to show you what yours is so we can do surgery and you can cut it out. Maybe I preach it this morning. Amen? Never got to preach it before. I always wanted to do that. I know it's carnal. I know it's one of those cliche things and one of those catchy things, and preachers like to have titles that people grab onto and all that. Just cut it out. Amen. So, well, it's not that easy. You're probably not reading your Bible. Open the book and let the Lord do surgery on you. He'll cut it out. You know what he's never going to say? He's never going to say, well, I tried, but I couldn't get it all. Hey, you know what he's going to say? Get back on the table, fool. I'm trying to do an operation here. Amen. Oh, no, Lord, I don't want it all out. I'm having some fun with that sin. Sin's pleasurable for a season. That's what the Bible says. That's not my opinion. That's what the book says. Cut it out. We're in a battle. We're in a wrestling match that is not about flesh and blood, and it's not an opponent that we can defeat. The only way to defeat the devil is by the word of God, by the words of God. Jesus Christ himself did it with God's words. It is written. It is written. It is written. You know what people tell me all the time? You Baptists, once saved, one always saved. I say, it is written. I don't say the words, but in my mind I'm thinking there's a verse, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, nobody can know that they have eternal life. These things are written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. This is right there. It says it. You can know it. So you're saying the Bible's true, not true. If you're saying nobody can know it, you're saying the Bible's not true. You're not saying I'm wrong, which you are, but essentially they're saying the Bible's wrong. Amen? You know the reason I didn't quit 3 weeks ago? Because the devil was telling me he lost it? Because it is written. It is written. I never had any confidence in me to start with. Amen. So if you take your confidence from me, in me, from me, the devil can get me to lose my confidence in me, I still haven't lost my salvation. Because my salvation confidence is not in me. It's in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's in the blood atonement on Calvary. It's in the fact that hell couldn't keep him and he come back out of that grave. It's in the fact that I've done what he asked me to do and I put my faith in him and call on him for salvation. My confidence for eternal salvation is not in me. If I had to put it in me, my confidence would be that I'm going to hell. Amen. But I believe the book. I believe what Jesus Christ said. I believe what he did. And I believe what he's going to do. And what he started in me, he's going to finish. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, bam. Amen. And whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, you're going to, when the tribulation happens, you won't be here if you're saved. Whatever you believe now, God will fix it when you get out of here, amen? But you ought to know the Bible now. You ought to know enough the devil can't take your salvation and your eternal security beliefs from you. You ought to know enough that he can't take your confidence in the Word of God, denying the power thereof. If you want power from God, you're going to have the Word of God, and if he can talk you into believing you don't have the Word of God, then you don't have any power. You know what the Bible said in Hebrews? To them it was preached, and it didn't have effect because it was not mixed with faith. They didn't believe what they heard. People don't believe what they hear. It's the Word. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection, blood atonement. Thank you, Lord, that because he come out of that grave with power over victory, power over death, hell, and the grave, that we can know where we're going because of your word. You've kept it, Lord. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. You promised us everlasting life. You've given us eternal life and your eternal word. Help us, strengthen us till you come get us out of here, Lord. Bless the folks today. Bless the nursing home service coming up. Have your hand and power on it. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.